Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, how are you today? We want everybody to have that nourished energy because next week, as a lot of people have noticed and have been listening to the news, guess what? The places are opening up, restaurants opening up, allowing people to go inside. Isn't that nice? That's so beautiful. And we're excited. We're excited that it's like we're no longer locked down. How does it feel? We have an exciting topic for you today that we're going to discuss. We won't keep you long. The last segment on the 19th was almost an hour, and we discussed a lot of foods that you can eat. I'll go over shortly, and it will talk about foods that will lead to weight loss, and I'll give you a short list of snacks. If you want the longer list, you'll have to go and listen to the June 19th segment. And it's a lot of information on there that will help you with your, let your food be your medicine. Let your food be your medicine. Why are you making that comment? Simply because we don't want you running to the doctor every time you turn around. So we're sharing things with you that will keep you out of the hands of the hand. Let us open with a prayer. And thank God that we are joining, you all are joining us today. The name of this program is Prayer Heals, and that's the short list of it. And we definitely want to let you know how prayers are strong, and it will just lead you to wherever you want to go. Your mouth, the words that you say will either give you life or give you death. And my name is Pastor Diane. I am your host for today, and I'm excited about that. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. Go on and let me give you a quick tip on the food, and this will be a health tip and a quick business tip. And I will, before I do that, let's say prayer. Father, we thank you for keeping us safe, keeping our families safe. Thank you for thinking of us so that now we can go out and about. We still keep our masks. We still have the social distancing, but we will follow directions as we are guided by our governors of each state and those with CDC. And if the president thinks that, you know, there's something we need to do, we always pray for our president. We pray for our vice president. We pray for the first lady, Melania. And we pray for all elected and appointed officials, all of our governors, all of our mayors, all of our city council, all of the state representatives, the congressmen, the senate. We pray for all. We even pray for the police department, fire department, doctors, lawyers, nurses, paramedics, ambulance personnel, and the military. And we plead the blood of Jesus over all of them, all of their families and their staff. Yes, we thank you for ordering our steps. Thank you for giving us an our plan of life from you. Thank you so much for your guidance. We couldn't do this without you. We praise your holy name. In the mighty matchless name of Jesus, amen. Glory be. It'll be all of you and none of me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for speaking through my vocal cords and thinking through my mind. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Okay, we have food that usually leads to weight loss. Go over that really quickly. And as I said, if you want a longer, we have more in-depth information, a lot of good information. We gave you some information as it relates to what you can eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. and how the snacks coincide with. There was a lot of information on 619. Listen to that one. I think you will be better. Okay, let's look at foods that lead to weight loss. And we have green tea, leafy green vegetables, wild salmon, dark chocolate. We'll say that twice. Do not want you eating milk chocolate. Dark chocolate. Say that so you can make the distinction. Notice I didn't say chocolate. Dark chocolate. Okay? Greek yogurt, berries, lemons, limes, or Granny Smith apples. Granny Smith apples. Steel cut oats. Do the snacks. Eating your snacks, you're supposed to be eating 3 to 4 hours a day. Not every meal. We're not talking about you're supposed to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then you eat a little snack in between each meal. Okay, so that's a couple of snacks a day. All right, and the snacks should be, healthy snacks are raw nuts, organic celery and carrot sticks, guacamole or avocado, no sugar. Use stevia or Truvia. Use stevia, which is spelled S like Sam, T like Tom, E like Edward, V like Victor, I, A like Apple, or Truvia. T like Tom, R like Robert, U like Underwood, V like Victor, I, A like Apple. Okay, hot tea is okay with no sugar. Use stevia or Truvia. Okay? All right. Now, last but not least, I will say this. And, well, I'll mention that in the business tip. I'll use that for the business. Okay, so that's all we'll talk about for the health tip. So let's say this in the business tip. And that's talking about your sleep. Some of you are entrepreneurs. If you're a lawyer or a doctor, doctors, if you are not getting enough sleep, I know they need you in the hospital, but let them know, stress that you need at least 7 hours of sleep. So if they're messing with you and trying to keep you from getting at least 7 hours of sleep, you cannot be 100% if you are getting 3 to 4 hours sleep every night. You cannot do that. I know I wouldn't want to. Okay? All right. So let them help you in terms of getting enough sleep. And you can share that with them. Tell them you need that. You got to have it. All right? And we're saying that you need to have dinner around 6 or 7. So those of you who like late dinner evening, conform to not eating late at night. Your body, when you're sleeping, your body is regenerating itself. It cannot regenerate itself if you're only getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep. So that means you won't be around a long time. You just won't. You can't. You're not a machine. You are human, flesh and blood. So are lawyers, anybody professional, those of you who are working, you are entrepreneurs, you have your own business, cannot work all night. Can't do that. Must sleep. Okay? That is helping you to keep your eyes on the prize. If you don't do that, you'll be in great trouble. And I'm going to end by saying, and drink enough water. Please drink enough water. That's very important. Sir. I know you're busy. I know that people are trying to make money, especially during this pandemic. Everybody's wondering what's going to happen, how is it going to happen, how are you affected. But please drink enough water while you're doing all this. Sit your children down around the table and share with them why they should have enough water. Well, the kids are truly not drinking enough water. They live on juice. We cannot be giving them that juice. A lot of that juice has fructose in it, which is not good. And they're talking about the FDA and other places that are doing surveys on health. They're saying that the Americans eat a half a truckload of sugar every year. That's why our children are getting cancer and all these things that they shouldn't even be getting. How are children getting cancer? So we have to be careful. Sit our children down and let them know what's healthy and tell them why. Sometimes we just say, you got to eat this, you got to eat it. If you don't eat that, explain to them why it's important for them to have vegetables in their system, why it's important for them to drink water. They will help you remember. This is smart. If you tell them, give them the reasoning behind it in a nice way, you don't want to go after them and be telling them, you better drink that water. Oh, you know, I'm going to get you. No. Sit down and talk to them. Make a game out of it. However, be creative. And talk to them about what it's going to do to their bodies. If they do research, take them to the library and show them the books. Open the books and show them what will happen if they do not drink enough water. And can I tell you something? You never know. They might become a doctor, so that they can just, they may become the change, because doctors do not study nutrition. And maybe somebody come along the way and change that and say, well, you know, doctors should. They really should have some knowledge. They should have more than what they have. So they're not required to study nutrition. That's a specialty. So, you know, the information that I'm sharing with you is coming from a specialty doctor who's a Christian. And his name is Dr. Don Colbert. And you can look him up on Google him. It is information. I gave it in the last segment, so as I said, I'm not going to take a lot of time to go back through that. You can do that. You can listen to June 19th segment. Okay? Podcast. It's available 24 hours a day. All right. So let us get started on our subject. Our subject is, what is the characteristic of a thief who also creates division? Who is that thief? It's the devil. Okay? What can you do to stop the thief from bringing harm to what is yours? When will Christians band together and put a stop to division, racism, and what he does? John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job description. He's had that job description for a very long time, and he has no desire to change it, because he's been getting away. Why should he change it? It's up to us, because God gave us, if you go to, you know, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, go to Luke chapter 10. Let me show you. Luke chapter 10. Okay. Chapter 10, verse 19. And it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In verse 9. I'm going to read it again. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay, so nothing hurt you. We have more power than the devil. But we have to know what the power is. If we don't know what the power is, how can we exercise what God has given us? And you say, well, who am I? How do I know I have power? Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question. Turn to Genesis, the book of Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible. Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1. To the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over and over all the earth. Let me read that last part again. And over all the earth. Okay? So if we have power, he gave us power, dominion over all the earth. He didn't just say in your household or when you at church listening to the pastor bring forth the word or the minister bringing forth the word. Gave us dominion over all the earth. Never forget that. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Created man in his own image. In his own image, we're supposed to be like him. He put that there so we can read it and get a full understanding of what that means. What that means is if you are a born-again Christian, you are like God. Isn't that awesome? Did you know that? That you are a little G. You are not God, but you are like him. You know how you have your children and people say, oh, you are just like your mother, or you just like your daddy. But we're the same with God when we become a born-again Christian. If you are not a born-again Christian, you do not have dominion over the earth. Only Christians have that. That's why you have to understand, you are, say it again, you are supernatural. You are better and higher than people in the world. You don't go out and tell them that. I'm better than you. I'm greater than you. You don't say that. Because most Christians don't know who they are. They have no idea how much power they have. They go to church. This is the way we go to church. Carry our Bibles. Go to church. Get us a seat. Try to sit up front if we can. We don't have a clue as to who we are. If you are supernatural, that simply means you are not a natural person. Power and authority to do things that regular people cannot do. We don't have a lot of people preaching this and teaching this. So we don't have people who are, you know, who really know much about this simply because it's not coming across on the pulpit. There are those that are teaching it, but it's not a lot. I can count on one or two hands the ones that are. That's really unfortunate. But we are supposed to have people knowing who they are. Okay? So now that we've told you who you are, let's carry it a step further. Okay? We went to John 10 and 10. Showing you in the book so you'll know I'm not just saying this out of my mouth and this is something I think and this is something that, you know, is mine that belongs to me. No, this is in the Bible. So that's why I think that we're going through a lot of scripture. I am doing this so you will know this is not coming out of my mouth or out of my head. It's in the Bible. I have to teach from the Bible. Okay, John 10 and 10. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's it written in red. So Jesus is saying that. He's trying to warn you. Hello, the thief comes to still coming on Sunday when you go to church. He's not just coming on Wednesday when you go to Bible study, if you go. 7 days a week. That's why we have to get in this word. That's the only thing that's going to help you is the word. If you're not studying the word, then you're in trouble, okay? Gotta study the word. Okay, then Jesus says, since the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, I come that you might have life and that you may have it more abundantly. You're supposed to be having abundant life. You're not supposed to be going through black men getting killed and racism and division. He gave us the power. What are we doing? How did this pandemic come about? Because we were sleeping. Do we think, we are all excited about, did you see that reality show? So-and-so, she's on there. I can't stand her. That's what our conversations are about. Some Christians, the majority of Christians, instead of doing that, we should be talking about what's in this word. And how do we fight? We are not fighting flesh and blood. Yes, the police are doing the killing, but they are not the ones we are fighting. Even the world doesn't know that. So they'll say, we do this and we do that and we do this is what we're supposed to do and we do that, da, 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 da. It's not going to stop the devil. He'll just find another way to do it. If he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, you move the police out of the way. You think that's going to stop him? He's a spirit. When are we going to stand up together and put a stop to what's going on from the thief who's doing this killing? Not only is he killing it through the police, but let's go down the line and talk about what he's doing. Children are being raped. They're being snatched. 700 children are being snatched every day, 7 days a week, which is 4,900. 7 times 7 is 49. 4,900 children being abducted every week. Why don't the news talk about that? You don't hear them saying about it. You don't hear them talking about that. And that's why we say when you go in the store, keep your children close to you. We have people who are out there thinking if they can do a human sacrifice, they will have more power. The devil has his people doing all kinds of things. You haven't got a clue. Because we won't get in his word and find out what he's doing. He keeps the racism going because he knows that we don't know it's him. They think it's the police. They'll move them out the way and he'll go on down the line and find something else to come through somewhere other way. Because that's how he does it. That's how he does it. Most of the Christians are sick. Sick, sick, sick. They go to the hospital. I talked to somebody who was on medicine, taking 50-some pills. I'm like, what? And I'm sure that's not that. You might have somebody taking more than that. That's crazy. You got all of these side effects coming from medicine. How can you be taking that many pills? Something's not right. These pharmacists, pharmaceuticals are making billions with a B, B-I, B like boy, I-L-L-I-O-E-N-S, because we like medicine. We don't trust God, so we go get the medicine. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor, because we need doctors, especially in trauma situations. We need doctors. I'm not saying don't take your medicine, but I'm saying why don't we eat right? We're putting this information out here so you can stay healthy, so you don't have to be, spending your money. And you say, I'm covered by my insurance, but you still got a copay. You add that up in 1 year or 2 years or whatever, however many years you're taking this medicine. That makes a difference. So, God doesn't charge anything, and if you get rid of it, it won't come back. And it doesn't cost anything. How about that? And you don't have to sit in the waiting room waiting on the doctor and them to call the nurse to call your name and weigh you and do all of this. I go to the doctor once a year. No, they don't have to take that back. They have me coming every 6 months. And as a general checkup, just come every 6 months. And they asked me last time I was there, they say, because you don't have, I'm over 60. So they asked me, do you have any problems? No. Do you take any medicine? No. You don't take any medicine? No. Looking at me like, what do you do for pain? I don't get it. If I have pain, I know how to get rid of it. So, I have my fish oil. I take my vitamin C, the vitamin D3, vitamin 12. I try to put that inside my body to keep me, you know, healthy. My vitamins, yeah. But medicine, no, I don't take medicine. And they were trying to understand that. What about your family? Listen, I don't know care what they had. I had families who were sick and all that. That was before I became when I was a little kid and I heard about grandma had this and all that kind of stuff. I don't even address that because that has nothing to do with me. I am healthy. I don't catch colds. Don't get the flu, and I don't get the flu shots. And I cannot get the virus. But I am following their direction, you know, because we have to be obedient. Obedient to the will of to those who are in authority over us. But if they didn't tell us that we had to put a mask on, I wouldn't have on a mask. Because I don't catch it. Whatever you got, I'm not going to catch it. Cough, do whatever. I'm not going to catch it. Okay? And you kill the devil. You say, devil, I am the righteousness of God. I am a born-again Christian. You cannot put nothing on me. I am healed. In 1 Peter 2:24, Jesus went to the cross so we could have healing. Why did he go to the cross if we're going to continue to go to the doctor? Run to the doctor, get a little pain, and go see what's wrong. How about asking God what's wrong? He knows what's wrong with your body. You taking all that medicine. Do you ask God, well, what can I do? What should I be eating? What can I do right? What can I do to make changes? We have to rely on him and start asking him questions and let him answer us. But we, guess what? We can't do that because we don't have time to spend with him on a daily basis. Do we say hello to God when we get up in the morning? Oh, I got to get up in the morning and I got to have me my coffee. I got to have my coffee. I'm no good without my coffee. Or I got to have my tea or whatever you got to have. I got to have a drink. We got to have everything but him. And we're not saying it's in hours and hours. We just say get up in the morning and say hello. God, thank you for rising me. Thank you that I can hear, see, speak, walk, talk. Don't take those lightly. I haven't met not one person in the last few years that said, "Woo! I am so glad we don't have a tsunami. We don't have earthquakes. In our area, I'm in the New England area." Everybody goes, "Ooh, today is a nice day." Well, they all nice. That's how I respond. Well, they all nice, even if it's raining. But we don't have a tsunami. We don't have an earthquake. Oh, yeah, you know what? You're right. Why do we're so used to complaining. We complain about everything. I was checking my mail. I ran into a person, and they were, "Ooh, it's so hot." When it gets cold, ooh, it's always cold outside. Okay. But we don't have snow. We didn't have snow. This is the third year we didn't have snow. I've been praying it away as long as I'm here. I'm like, hey, why ain't trying to be in no blizzard? Okay? So we have control over the earth. And I say that and somebody probably said, "What? You prayed it away." Yes, that's what you can do. We have the power to do that. You ain't coming on my block. I don't care where else you go. I didn't say that. But I said, no, you're not coming here. And you can say that. In the name of Jesus, I command you. You see when they tell you you're having a tornado or a hurricane, stop it. You're a Christian. You have the power to stop it. How many churches do you hear say that? The Bible says that Jesus said that. Okay. Okay, you're going too far. Okay, turn to John 14. Let's go a little further. John 14. Okay, verse 12 through 14. John 14, verse 12 through 14. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified. When you go to God, you always say, in the name of Jesus. You don't go to God talking to him and just, you know, straight to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, blah, 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 blah. And then be quiet and listen to what he has to say. Meditate on the word. Take the word to him. Don't start crying and screaming when one of your children gets sick and you don't know what to do. Oh, God, you know they're sick. What can I do? Oh, they got to take him to the hospital. I don't know. Oh, they said this is what they said. He's got to have surgery, and they don't know if he's going to make it. God's not listening to that. We've got to grow up. Some of us have been Christians for 20 and 30 years, and we're still drinking milk. Apostle Paul says, it's time to stop drinking milk. It's time to start eating meat. But we can't do that if we're not reading the Word. We're not reading this Bible. They did a survey and said 85% of all Christians are not reading the Bible. I disagree. I say it's probably more like 90 or 95% of Christians do not read the Word of God. Most of them are sick. Most of them, you know, the children. God took my child. No, he didn't. If your child wasn't 120 years old, he don't take them. What? Okay, let's go to Genesis. Go back to Genesis, chapter 6. Go through this word. I'm going to help you go through it. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. And if you believe the Bible, guess what? He cannot go against his words. Whatever he tells you in that word, that's what it is. Okay? Whatever he tells you in that word, that's what it is. It's not going to be anything else. That's what it is. Whatever he says, that's what it is. So 120 years old. That, if you're not 120, he doesn't take you. God took my mother. He took my grandmother. He took my uncle. My cousin. No. Mm-mm. All of these people are being taken by the devil. Oh, you didn't know that? He comes and he comes to steal, and destroy. Let me say it again, because I don't think you all are listening. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Calm down. Okay, let me calm down. Because I'm trying to show you, he cares nothing about us. He cares nothing about us. Let me show you that he cares nothing about it. Well, before we go there, let's do this. Okay, let me go to 1 through 7, John 15, right next door. 1:14, let's go to John 15. Okay, if you do this, you don't have a problem with having power. I am the true vine, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, in other words, if you're in this word, he's going to say, okay, you got this. Okay, let me take you over here. I need you to get this. Let me take you over here. I need you to get this. But if you are not in the word, every branch, you say, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He can't do nothing if you're not bearing any fruit. How are you bearing the fruit? Get in this word. Okay, verse number 3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Been clean, you're doing what you're supposed to. Verse 4, abide in me, You abide in him, he'll abide in you. I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Can't do this by yourself unless you're connected to God in the name of Jesus. You cannot do it by yourself. And people are trying to do that. Oh, I got this job. I'm making six figures. Oh, I'm okay. Blah, 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 blah. You can get sick. Millionaires have gotten sick and became paupers because they had to spend money for the nurses, spend money for the, they don't qualify for help from the government. So they have to spend their money to get the medical help and all this kind of stuff. If they were with God, they wouldn't have to spend a dime. Why? Because they had the healing. When Jesus went to the cross over 2,000 years ago and shed his blood, all Christians have healing on the inside of them. We also have the Spirit. You also have access to angels. In Psalm 91, did you know that? Do you dispatch your angels every day, or do your angels have cobwebs on them? Okay? Your angels, you dispatch them so they can go and be with you. You give your angels something to do. But how do you give them something to do? By speaking the word. If you don't speak the word, they don't move. They don't move if you don't speak the word. You got to speak the word for them to move. Okay. So, because we don't know what's going on, we think that police. Yes, the police need to be trained. Yes, they need to be trained back. Because we do, and it's not all the police, it's some. It's just like when you have the marches, you got, it's not the people who are doing peaceful marches, it's the people who are not doing peaceful marches who are doing the burning. They're burning out the mom and pop businesses. Why are you doing that? They don't have nothing to do with it. They're not the police. Why are you doing that? Now they got to go back and those mom and pop stores are African American. They're African American. Why are you burning them out? That doesn't make sense. But the enemy will whisper and say, see, yeah, go burn everything. Go burn everything. That'll make it live, yeah. But they're not thinking. They're selfish. They're not thinking, hey, if I burn this store, this is African. Don't even touch them. Why are you touching them? They didn't do anything. So you mess up the message that the peace discrimination, the peace demonstration is trying to bring forth. You out there doing stuff you didn't have no business doing. And you mess up the message. And then you have those people angry at the whole entire thing because this happened. So actually, when you have that kind of activity, you actually have two groups at hand. You got the one who's doing the peace march, and then you have the other one who's trying to cause havoc. And they're just doing something so they can go. That gives them an excuse to go and steal. That's unnecessary for them to do that. But we have control over that. So you can pray before you start to march. You can pray and say, listen, we want this message to get across. We want these police departments to understand what we're talking about. And we don't want anybody doing anything that will stop the full understanding of going forward. That's how you do it. You pray and ask God to go before you. Ask the Holy Spirit to order, get with you and show you how. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask your Spirit to show us how to do this. And we all emotion, our emotions are flying high, and we just go out there and do some stuff, and we start talking about what we think. God is nowhere in the midst. Why? He should be right there in the forefront. That's what. That's why you think Martin Luther King did what he did. He marched. He never told anybody to get angry and burn. He never did that. He said, we have to do a peaceful, peaceful march. That's what he did. And that's what caught the attention of the whole world, not just U.S. Everybody is familiar with Martin because of how he did his marches. and they were very effective. So much so that they couldn't stand him to be alive. They had to get him out the way. That's how effective he was. So to let you know that we have control, that was then. Just, we have control. We have control of the gifts of the Spirit. We are supposed to walk in love. Okay. Verse 5 say, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I tell everybody, I say, I am nothing without God. Nothing. Zero. Zero. I'm a senior pastor, but that means nothing. If I don't get in this word, it means nothing. Nothing. I don't get in God's face and say something. That means nothing. If I don't walk in the love of God, that means nothing. You can talk in tongues and tell everybody you're an apostle and you a prophetess and whatever else title you give yourself, but if you don't walk in the love of God and you don't have an intimate relationship with God, there's a lot of people, I got a relationship with God, I know him, yeah. Intimate relationship with God, where you spending time with him consistently. You're not too busy. You're spending time 7 days a week. 7 days a week. Now, if you miss a day now and then, don't beat up on yourself, but 7 days a week without missing a day. You can't learn who God is if you are spending once a week or once every 2 months. Some people only go to church once a month. What kind of Christian are you? Have to spend time with God. We won't read his Bible. We read all these other books. People tell me, I got this book, and I'll read it. Have you read some? No. I need the Bible, the Word of God. That's what I need. In this time and day, are you kidding me? We're in the last days. You think the devil is playing? He ain't playing. He shut down an entire world. He didn't just shut down the U.S. He shut down the world. A world shut down. How did that happen? And we got a church on every corner. Tell me how that happened. I'd like to know, how did that happen? I'll tell you what I think. Now, this is for me, Pastor Diane. I think that we were sleeping. We were not doing what we were supposed to do, myself included. Oh, yeah, I was in my word, but I could have did more. And, yes, I was praying for everybody. I prayed for everybody. But see, I could have done more. You can always do more. You never can sit back and say, well, you know, I've done enough. No, you can always do more. Anyway, I think that it behooves us that we need to get back in the groove of talking to God, getting on our knees, falling on our knees. Do we pray on our knees? How often do we pray on our knees? Do we ever? You don't have to do that all the time, and that don't mean you're holy if you get on your knees, but we stop doing that. Do we fall on our face? We stop doing that. You the truth. Okay, let's go to Galatians 22:23. First of all, sorry, 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking around here now, I mean, I would just say it when I read this once or twice. You know, when I read my scriptures, I read it maybe once. Maybe twice. And now I'm saying it, I don't care how many times a day, when I'm walking around saying, I walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. I walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. I walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. I walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Just keep saying it. And it says, okay, let's jump over from that scripture to 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. This is Galatians 5:22. long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We're supposed to be walking in that every day, being joyful, peaceful, walking in the love of God, having faith, long-suffering, meekness, and temperance. We're not supposed to be showing everybody we got it, we're emotional, and we're ready to curse somebody out, and we're ready to kill them, and all this kind of stuff. No. Where is our love? There's no love in that. That is not the answer. It is not the answer. Wrong was done. In order to make it right, we've got to sit down and figure out how to do the right thing. That's what Dr. King was about. He sat down around the table with the people, talked to the people, and tell them, no, this is what you should do. That's why he made those speeches that we still talk about to this day. So people are ready for me. Okay. And then the, everybody want to be a prophet. I'm a prophet. I'm an apostle. I'm a prophetess. Okay. Don't get me started. I'm not going to even go there because I'm not going to talk about people I don't. That's negative. He's to the devil's level. But what I will say, if you're a prophetess and you are an apostle, there's more to it than that. You should have some fruit showing somewhere. What have you done? How many people have you healed, really healed? I'm talking about pushing them down. I see people get in, go up there and touch people and they fall down. They push them down. I said, stop doing that. When they get back up, they're still not healed. Healing is not pushing somebody down. And that don't make you look good because you can push them down. Everybody don't push down now. Come on now. There's some people who actually fall for real. But I've seen, in your word, you know who's fake and who's not. Okay? And I've seen people push people down. I've seen people be really healing and they fall down naturally. So there is a difference. So we've got to start, we got to start training people, and that's why we train people in our school to how to heal people, how to heal. People need healing and deliverance. They need that. We got to stay in this word so we can heal people. Okay, Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. The end of this. Ephesians chapter 6. Okay. Mm-hmm. Chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, the Lord's might, not your might. That you run out there, oh, I think that this is this, and da-da-da-da-da, you got the microphone, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. See, if you're not a Christian, see, we got non-Christians running everything, and we the Christians sitting back and looking and following the world. We're the ones that should be leading and let them follow us. That's how it should go. Okay. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the wickedness of the devil when he's out there doing dividing. And whispering in people's ear and telling them to do be racist. We're coming against our family and bringing on sickness. We don't even get rid of the sickness. Okay, verse 12. Well, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're talking about the police. It ain't the police. That's flesh and blood. It's the spirit. That evil spirit that's within them. We got to deal with that. As I said, if we get the police out of the way, the devil's going to be laughing and say, all he has to do is go down the street or go down the way and find another way to get in and do what he's trying to do. We got to get to the root of the problem. Yes, we have bad police. Yes, they need to be trained. Yes, there needs to be a difference. Yes, they were wrong. Yes, they commit murder. All of those, oh, yes, with all of the above. But how do we do it? What is the characteristic of a thief? Also creates division. So we got everybody mad at the police, and nobody's mad at the devil. You see, the real culprit has not even been mentioned. Christians, you know who it is. Deal with it. Don't be out there trying to, you know, run and say, oh, yeah, the police, yeah. They're not totally innocent. But I'm saying to you, if you punish them only and not punish the real culprit, then we haven't done our job. Haven't done our job. That's what this is about. Deal with the thief who's come to kill, steal, and destroy. He's going to keep doing it. He's going to keep snatching your family members away. And it's not God that's doing it. God gave us the power. He can't do anything on this earth until we invoke his services. And how do we do that? Through the word of God. That's why we're doing this study. Not going to do anything because he gave us the power. He gave us a free will. He cannot come and take it back. Even a God, and people say, all people say, oh, he's faithful. Yes, he is faithful. But he's not going to do our job. We have to do it. We have the power to do it, and we do it with our words. Whatever we say, we have what we say. When God made this world, didn't he say, light be, light was. God said, in chapter 1 of Genesis, God said, and it happened, did it not? Well, darkness came, light came. Okay, Mark 11. Let's go through this here. Okay, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Keep standing till you get, till you are complete. Stand. Take a stand. Don't take a back seat. Take a stand. We're going to get this. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, that protects your heart, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Talking in peace. Above all, take the shield of faith. You have to have faith in God. Wherefore, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. He's throwing them darts at us left and right. What are we doing? Are we doing anything? Okay? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's like a sword. It fights for us. If we use it, but we don't use it. We don't use the sword. He gave it to us. We're supposed to put on the armor of God every day. Are we doing that? Okay, number 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. How many of us pray in the Spirit? Have we been baptized in the Holy Spirit? We got the Spirit in us. That's one way. But that's one part of it. The second part is we're supposed to be speaking in tongues. That's where you build up yourself and you get a chance to, you know, have power. You have more power. You're building on your power. And faith. We have to have faith in what it is we're doing. Here. Watching therein with all perseverance and supplication for all. So, got one more scripture. I know I said that was the last one, but this one came to me. Mark 11. This is the last one. Mark 11:22. Jesus said, "Have faith in God. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," well, what is the mountain? It could be your marriage. It could be your family. It could be somebody trying to take the life of one of your children. It could be, that's the mountain. Say unto this mountain, say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, no doubt. You're saying this, I don't doubt this. I believe it'll work. It's because I'm saying it in your heart, no doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you, say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Whatever you say, believe what you say, you shall have it. When you believe what you say, you have what you say. When you say it, you have it. You got kids that's acting crazy? I plead the blood of Jesus over these kids. You're going to be a man of God. You're a man of God. You're a woman of God. If you own drugs, you will not. That I take the taste right out of your mouth. Those drugs come right out of your mouth. You have what you say. Make those confessions and say it more than once. Tell them the devil can't have you. He's not going to get you. Don't be telling them, well, you get on my nerve. I wish you wouldn't. I wish you weren't born. Don't say things like that. You need to get out of my house. I don't ever want to see you again. Don't say that. Show them love. You show them love. Make the devil mad. He comes to kill, destroy families, and he'll steal. He will steal your children. If you don't tell them you love them, somebody out there will. And they will hang with them because they're hearing what they want, what they know they should be hearing, because you're not saying it, and you will lose it. We need to get this together. I will be talking more. Didn't say all that stuff that I said to say. I don't know. But I love you all. I do. God loves you. He loves you so much. He's not angry. He loves us whether we make mistakes or not. Now, he loves everybody, whether they're born again Christian or not. They still get his love. So, I'm not born again. Does God really love me? Yes, he does. He may not like what you do, but he does love you. But you still don't have access to the promises until you become a born again Christian. So let's do that right now. Let's turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts. Right after the book of Acts is the book of Romans. Chapter 10. Book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And she says that if thou should confess with thy mouth, please repeat after me, if thou confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, and then you can also say 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so you confess your sins, and if you make a mistake, and don't beat up on yourself, don't condemn yourself, just repent. Father, I apologize for making that mistake, and move on. It's gone. He's forgotten. Once you repent, it's gone. So don't you linger in it. And if somebody's trying to make you feel guilty because of something you've done in the past, don't pay attention. Okay, because God loves you. That's what matters. God loves you no matter what. Even if you killed somebody, he'll love you. All those officers that committed murder, God loves them. And you might say, how can he love them? Because he loves everybody. But now there are consequences. Now he doesn't stop them from getting the consequences. No, you murdered, you got to suffer. There are consequences when you do stuff you don't supposed to do. If you're not supposed to do it, if there's a law against it, you must. Hey, you got to pay. You got to consequence. He doesn't take the consequences away because he loves you. That's like if your child, does something, you love your child, but you still have to chastise them. And if you're not chastising them when they do something wrong, you're out of order. You are out of order. Now, you don't have to beat the child. You can put them in time out if they're little, or there's something you can take away from them that they might want. You might have the privilege of driving a car if they're teenagers, then you take that away from them. Or they like to watch TV or get on the internet or whatever. There's things that you can do when they want to go to a party. There's things that you can do. They have to have a curfew instead of staying out till 11 or 12. No, you got to be in by 8 or 7. Something that you know will hurt them. When I say hurt them, I mean that it will get the point across that you're trying to scare them with them. And spend more time talking to your kids. On my website, on this website, the Block Talk Radio, it has a picture of a family. That picture is there for a reason. It's trying to encourage families to spend time sitting around the table and eat and talk. You got children, eat with them around the table. We got too many people, this one eating at this time, that one eating at that time, this one coming in to eat at that time, and we go in the refrigerator, and can I warm some up? No, listen, let's go back to babies. Family. That's how the devil can come in, because we're so distorted ourselves. Let's go back to what we used to do. Don't be too busy where you can. Spend time, even if you do that 2 times a week, let the family look forward to that. This is our time together. Okay? At least once a week, the family should sit down together and talk. At least, no less than once a week. You can do more. The more you do it, this is not in the Bible, but there's a saying out there that says, a family that prays together stays together. I'm a firm believer of that. But those persons are in the Word, obviously, if they're praying. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Listen, I love you all. I think you got the message. Father, I thank you for bringing us together. I pray and I point out and just thank you for everyone you're talking to. We want to give everybody a chance to the soul when they hear a word. You know, the soul, that is 2 ways you can go online. So, CE, Christian, University, will have to go through the university. And so, through the university, GE, Christian University, is spelled out. B like George, E like Edward. With www.becristianuniversity.org. Okay? And click on Contact Us, and on your right side there's a PayPal button. Click on that. So thank you, Father. Everybody that decides to make a donation, may they have a return fee that's going into this. We thank you so much for all that you do for us. Thank you for enlightening the people that are listening. And I just thank you, Father, for keeping them. I pray the blood of Jesus over all their families and their children, relatives. Thank you for keeping them safe. Thank you for keeping the children out of trouble. The children are blessed in the name of Jesus. We pray this in your holy name. Magnify you because you are worthy, God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Oh, we thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for the words that you bring to us. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for loving on us each and every day. Even when we don't deserve it, you're right there with us. We appreciate that, and we do not take it lightly. Glory be to God. Praise your holy name. Glorify you. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. All right, you have a good evening. I love you all. Enjoy your day. Don't forget dad. Don't forget uncles, aunts, everyone else who will, you know, gain something for you, calling them on the phone and say, Happy Father's Day. Even if it's someone you haven't talked to, if you haven't talked to dad in a long time, you've been angry with dad, uncle, brother, child, let tomorrow be a day you step forward and mend things that has been broken in the past. Okay? All right. Love you. Have a nice night. Bye-bye.